Hey gang, Wonder Rob here.
And Shop's here too.
This podcast is part of the Geek So To Speak Network.
Visit geeksotospeak.com for our full podcast lineup.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the very first episode of Geek So To Speak, a podcast for geeks, nerds, and everyone in between, because
Geek so to speak.
I can't breathe.
Welcome back, fellow geeks, to another episode of Geek So To Speak podcast, your source for all things geek. I'm talking movies, TV shows, video games, comic books. You name it, we're going to talk about it, except that this is a paramount episode. This is a big deal. This episode is episode 200. We did it, folks. We made it. We made it to episode 200. My name is Shoff. I didn't say that. We've had a couple of weeks off, so I'm a little bit rusty. But my name is Shoff. I am the original founder of Geek So To Speak and co-host of the show. With me, of course, are two of my very bestest friends. Let me introduce you to Wonder Rob.
Yo.
And Vector.
Oh yeah.
So that represents the trio, the treacherous trio. And you know, we've been doing this thing for quite some time. And Wonder Rob has been with me longer than Vector has, but Vector has previously had a segment on the podcast, Vector Loves Comics, which ended up becoming its own podcast in its own right. And now it's called We Love Comics. It's a fantastic show. And but Wonder Rob and I have been best friends for a long time. And he was a guest on my very first episode almost, 6 years ago?
Probably. Let's look it up.
Something like
that. I'll look it up while you do that.
Let's see. Yeah. So, but after like the first 9 episodes, I was like, I can't do this by myself. I need to have my very best friend, Rob, join me as an official co-host, because he was just coming on for Marvel episodes. And I was like, I prefer the energy of the show when he's on it. And so I was like, Wonder Rob, I want you to be my co-host. And I think I took you out to,
it says 2017. July 9th, 2017.
Okay, 17. Okay, so 5 years.
Almost six.
Coming up on five.
Almost six,
yeah.
Hey, Shove.
Yes, sir.
You know what Wonder Rob is?
What's Wonder Rob?
He's neighborhood approved.
That's a reference to something, and it went over my head.
I'll tell you when you're older, Shove.
Okay, good. But yeah, so I brought him to Barnes & Noble. We sat him down in the the cafe. Wonder Rob is doing something very wild right now. He looks like a wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. But I brought him to Barnes & Noble, and I was like, man, if you become my co-host, I will take you to Portillo's, and I will get you a chili cheese dog.
What?
And a cake shake. And he was like, all right, where do I sign? And we've been doing it ever since, every single week.
I didn't get that
for a while. Nope. I know. I couldn't roll out the red carpet to you, Vector, you know, because of COVID. freaking quarantine, man. I can't get 6 feet closer to you, you know, because of your bulbosity. But anyways, you know, just a little bit of history on the podcast. We've been doing this for quite some time, and now we're here. We finally hit 200. And I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag. We've been teasing a new format for this podcast, and I hate to say it, but the new format's gonna have to wait.
The new format is, well, it's a new format. Technically speaking, it could be considered a new format.
It's already the old format.
What we had planned, and I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. I'm going to spoil it for everybody because I don't want to leave y'all hanging. But we were we were going to be moving to a completely superhero news and reviews focus. So we're moving away from geek culture, which is what we were just determining to be a little too hard to nail down and define, especially nowadays where superheroes are so mainstream. Like, it's not like it used to be where being a geek and liking that stuff, you kind of were in a unique culture. Now it's so mainstream. So we were changing things up, and we were going to focus on movies, TV shows that are strictly like superhero related or superpowers presented in the show. And that was our plan. We were going to do that. But I have a newborn child, and she's officially a month old. But let me tell you, it's a handful with a newborn and a nearly two-year-old toddler in the house. It's a lot to manage, and it's become something where it's just really hard to keep this podcast going with everything else going on in the house and working full-time and trying to be an attentive husband and everything else. So for me personally, I kind of came to this unfortunate realization that the podcast needs to take an extended break. So for our fellow listeners out there that have been listening consistently, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you. For anybody who told somebody else about the podcast and they started listening, thank you so much for that. We have only gotten this far because of you listening to the show, so we really do appreciate you immensely. We don't want to take a break. We'd love to keep going, but the break is needed. We've been doing this consistently for a very long time, and it's just, we need a little bit of a breather. Right, guys?
Right.
He's right. I'm not being forced into this. No, Shav, we're all in agreement on this. Yeah, Shav, yeah.
Can I see my wife again, please? I read off the card. Like you said.
Shav, can you untie me now?
Later. That's for the after show. Oh, so boy. Yeah, so you're joining us for episode 200. I wish I could say there would be a 201, but it will be a while before 201 makes its way into your ear holes.
But but let me say,
yes,
for the listeners, you can still find Vactor every week on We Love Comics, his comic book spinoff podcast, where he's discussing all the latest and greatest in comic books every week with the Peanut Gallery, Seabury, yeah, and Hunter Camp, and yeah, maybe me, maybe Shoff on a future episode if he needs just a little break. Who knows? And you can also find me, Vactor, and Jeff W. talking video games every week on the Sandbox Gamers. So you'll still have some geek, so to speak, in your life.
Yes.
But this podcast, just this one in particular, is just going to take an extended hiatus. Just wanted to make that perfectly clear. You're not going to be absent. Shoff may or may not make a guest appearance on Sandbox Gamers. Shoff may or may not make
I could always, yeah, and voicemails, like, yeah, leaving some voice memos or something on the pod, maybe just like a brief, like, minute, 3 minutes or something, just to say hi. I could probably manage that, but at least in the interim, with baby and also planning on a move happening within the next 9 weeks, moving to the state of Washington.
I forgot about that.
There's a lot happening in my life right now, and it's just really hard to manage everything else too. So, I had to kind of, just lighten the load a little bit. Now, also, Technological is another podcast within the Geek, So to Speak network, and that one is still going to continue at least through the Sandbox. What am I talking about? The Strange New Worlds show. At which point, we will take a hiatus on that one as well, and then ideally come back after an extended break. There won't be any new Star Trek shows happening until, I want to say, later in August, potentially September. So it might line up pretty good with our potential plan for a return to Geek, So to Speak, later in the fall. So, so that's just a little bit of information, of course. Like Wonder Rob said, make sure to subscribe to Sandbox Gamers, We Love Comics, Technological for its remaining episodes, so that you can still get your fix of our dulcet tones, if you will.
Yeah. So.
Now, it wouldn't be Geek, So to Speak, if we didn't, you know, spend some time talking about geeky things. So in the past couple of weeks that we had off, there was a whole bunch of stuff that happened. Of course, there was a new Thor Love and Thunder trailer that debuted. We finally got our first look at Gore the God Butcher. Additionally, for those that wanted to wait until all episodes were available of Moon Knight, there was a chance to watch all of that. And so we're going to talk a little bit about season one wrap-up. Wonder Rob is pointing to himself right now. He is the one.
I'm the only one.
He likes to wait. He likes to wait. He wants to binge it all in one sitting. That's how Wonder Rob likes to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then as well, a tasty treat on what was supposed to be originally Wednesday, turned into Friday, ended up being Thursday. Obi-Wan Kenobi debuted on Disney Plus, and we also are planning on talking about the first two episodes for those of us in this group that have had a chance to watch it. Also, a little bonus, Wonder Rob is pointing to himself again because he did not get a chance to watch it.
That's okay. I'm ready for spoilers. Spoil me, baby.
Yeah, and then also, and I'll try to keep this non-spoilery because I know that at least Vactor will be interested in this. Stranger Things season 4 debuted part 1, which has a few episodes. I can't think of how many were in part 1, but they're each basically like feature films, every episode it feels like. So I got a chance to watch the first episode of season 4 the other day, and I figure I would share my thoughts, at least non-spoilery, about that too. So yeah, that's the plan.
Seven episode show.
Seven episodes in part one?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Wow, man, that's a lot of content. Holy crikeys. That's like 8-9 hours worth of content. Good Lord.
That's a lot of that weird kid with the weird face.
So let's start with something that all of us have had a chance to see, which is Moon Knight.
Yeah. Moon Knight. Moon Knight. Moon Knight.
So we had a chance. We've already reviewed the show initially. We talked about our first impressions of the show after seeing, was it the first two episodes that they dropped initially?
One.
Oh, just the one.
Yeah.
Vactor had the privilege, the benefit, the, how do you say it, Wonder Rob? You say it, the privilege, the,
the, he had the privilege, the duty, the right, because the Disney truck drove by his house and a tape fell off the back. And he just scooped it up.
He's like, I'm going to watch this.
Vactor, he lives by a firm finders keepers, losers weepers rule. And he definitely had that in place for the first four episodes. So,
also, yeah, so Disney was kind enough to send me screeners.
Oh, they threw it. They drove past his house and threw it like Excitebike. Yeah.
Or Paperboy?
No, Excitebike. Okay. I said what I said.
I stand by my words. Wonder Rob, just throwing it out there, you did finish it, right?
I literally finished it. I'm here. 30 minutes ago.
Wow. Okay, cool. All right. So then I'm going to start with you, Wonder Rob, because Vactor and I have had a chance for it to simmer in our brains for some time. Your thoughts of the show overall? Because I know that you've been a fan of Moon Knight, even though he's kind of a lesser known Marvel character. You've known about him for a while, and
yes,
you certainly liked him as a comic book character. Mm-hmm. So I want to hear your thoughts.
So I want to point out just real quick to start that I did wait. I purposefully waited to watch Moon Knight until the last possible second because I had 2 weeks to do this, but I knew we were going to talk about it. And just like I do with everything else, you know, I like to watch it as close to the recording as possible so it's fresh in my mind and I can recall the facts. So that's why I waited. I had tons of opportunity. I watched 5 episodes today, and it was amazing. It's like when you sit down with some good comic books and you just read it all day. Vactor knows what I'm talking about, but it was Oscar Isaac. Anyway, it was bad that I didn't watch it sooner because I loved it, is what I'm saying. I really, really, really enjoyed Moon Knight. I thought Oscar Isaac was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
The dual roles between Mark Spector and Stephen Grant. were fantastic. I like towards the later episodes. We're going to spoil Moon Knight, by the way, everybody, just so that's clear. You've had a while to watch it. Anyway. Sorry, I made myself laugh because when I said you have a while to watch it, that's exactly what Shoff was making fun of me about earlier today in our Discord chat when I thought I got spoiled for it. So the irony is not lost on me, Shoff. I'm just putting it out there right now.
But I know how you like to watch stuff. I get it. I know it. I've known you long enough, and I've done this podcast with you long enough that that's how you choose to watch stuff.
Anyway, the flips between the two personalities in the later episodes, I really, really enjoyed where it would be a seamless transition between the two personas, especially in the last episode, which wasn't so much a physical acting transformation like you're used to seeing, but there's in the very last episode, there is a fight with Mark Spector, Stephen Grant, and Ethan Hawke's character, whatever his name was, and where the two Moon Knight suits and personalities are switching as the battle goes. And I really, really enjoyed it. I thought the CGI was great for the most part. In particular, the hippo goddess I thought looked really great. It wasn't as violent as I think people were making it out to be. A lot of people, when the show came out and was first coming out and continued to air, were comparing it to Daredevil in terms of the violence level or the grittiness. And I didn't really see that. Not that it didn't hamper the show or my opinion on it. I just didn't see. I don't agree with the comparisons. So that being said, I still really enjoyed it, but it's definitely more of a character-driven show than an action show, I would say. And my only real criticism with it is the same thing I criticize all the TV shows for, is I wish instead of a big overarching story, they can have that for just a little bit, but I wish at least just a scotch, just a tiny bit, I could see Monster of the Week type storytelling. He's dealing with like more street level things. And I don't think we're going to see that in the second season based on how the show ended. It leads you to believe that Mark Spector and Stephen Grant are free from the duties of being Moon Knight. And then, of course, it's revealed at the very end in a post-credit scene that a third personality is there. Who speaks Spanish? I forget his name. Jake, what's it? What is it, Trent?
Lockley.
Jake Lockley, that's right. Just think Heather Locklear, but Jake Locklear with no er. Jake Lockley. And that's easy. But it didn't have the usual Moon Knight will return or Doctor Strange will return or Iron Man will return at the end of the show.
Right.
So I'm interested in seeing what they do. I like how it was kept separate from the MCU. Well, it's within the MCU, but there weren't greater MCU references in the show. Or if there were, I didn't notice them. And last but not least, because I know I'm just going on and on about how much I loved it, I really liked in the last two episodes the juxtaposition between is this all in Mark Spector's head? Or is this all actually happening? Is he in a mental institution? Is this really happening? Going back and forth and leaving you guessing until the very end. So yeah. Is Moon Knight just as good as everything? Yes. Is it better than some things? Yes. I don't know if it's my favorite Disney Plus show, but I liked it better than Hawkeye. I think I liked it better than What If. Not better than WandaVision, not better than Loki. So yeah, that's where I'm putting Moon Knight for me.
Nice. Vactor, what about you?
I'm also kind of in the center with it or in the middle. It wasn't my favorite and wasn't my least favorite. I enjoyed it from start to finish, and Oscar Isaac's performance is the standout. You know, it was interesting. We talked about it on Treknological a little bit. At the same time, Star Trek Picard was doing a thing where, all right, we're dealing with Picard's past and at childhood trauma, how it affects him in the future. Moon Knight was doing it. That episode aired right around the time of the Picard episode.
That's right.
And I said it on Technological that I was getting it in a better form on Moon Knight than I was on Picard, and I did enjoy the mental aspect of the whole show, and then the childhood trauma aspect of how did that affect him, you know, his splintering identity disorder, and they handled it very well, I thought, being kind about it, being forgiving and not, all right, we gotta, like, from the reports that I've seen, it treats it very well as far as dissociative identity disorder, and just bringing light to that type of story is interesting to me, and also something that we hadn't seen before in the MCU. I'm also like Rob, I would hope that there's some other MCU connection, because as of right now, as we record this in May of 2022, there hasn't been anything announced for a season two, or if he's going to show up in another Marvel movie, you know, phase five or whatever. So as of right now, this is the only thing that exists, just this first season, six episodes. And I'd like to see more from the character. I also wanted to see more action, because for the most part, it was a psychological relationship story between him, his ex-wife, and his other identities. So I got much more of the human Oscar Isaac than I did of the costume vigilante Moon Knight. Mm. And that's what a lot of the Moon Knight comics are. You know, for the most part, he's in the costume the entire time. Mm-hmm. You rarely see him outside of the costume. So I actually wanted more of that. I wanted more crime fighting, like Rob was saying, like street level stuff. Let's get some of that in there. That's what I'd like to see. Maybe a monster of the week and he's solving crimes and things like that. So it was a good start to the, you know, good introduction to the character, but I'd like to see more overall.
More. I want more. Yeah, I think these are all great points. I really enjoyed it. I actually have kind of a unique take on this because of a little bit of personal connection to the to the ailment that.
Are you a superhero,
Mark Spector, Stephen Grant? This whole time, I have to go take care of a burglar situation across the street. No, my uncle. I'm not like super close with him, but he's on my mom's side, and he has, we never called it dissociative, but I think that's kind of a newer term, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, it was understood that he had sort of like a multiple personality disorder situation. It was no joke. Like apparently this sort of stemmed from some drug use, but like it splintered his brain and he had different personalities, so much so that he would mail me stuff occasionally, and his real name is Dennis. He would go by the name Denny, but he would mail me things, and it would show that it was sent from a guy by the name of Christian Fox Morrow. Mm-hmm. And his handwriting was different, and you would like, he would always handwrite his letters, and they were really long, like tons of pages of like notebook paper. And you could see the handwriting would change like throughout the document, like as if he was going in and out of like from Denny to Christian Fox Morrow to another person. I don't remember the other names that he would go by, but it was really, really wild. And I don't want to make fun of the situation at all. I'm certainly not, but I just have a personal connection with witnessing and being on the receiving end as someone who knows someone who is struggling with that. And like, it even got to the point where he would say all the time, he would talk about his daughter, Lorraine. And we're like, you don't have a daughter. You don't have a daughter. Like, you're not a father. You don't have a daughter. Turns out we were wrong. What? He does have a daughter named Lorraine, and she found out about all of us on Facebook, and she sought us out because she knew about the situation. So it's like there's so much that like your brain is able to compartmentalize, and you know, we didn't believe that this was a real thing, but in that personality, he did. He fathered a child with somebody and wasn't there as a father as a result. It, just wild. Just really wild. And so in watching it, it provided some perspective that I didn't have as a child in knowing him. And poor Uncle Dennis, he's in and out of like halfway homes in Chicago. He's, you know, not great. Not a great situation for him. But I haven't seen him in a very long time or heard from him or any mail or anything like that. But he would just take, he would find clippings of things like in newspapers or pamphlets or leaflets or whatever in flyers that he would find. He would just stuff it all into like a manila envelope and he would mail it to me. And it was just some weird connection that he had with me that he wanted to send me this stuff, but he would send it to me in his other personality. It was just very, that's very wild. Interesting. Yeah. So that for me watching Moon Knight was kind of just a really intriguing part of it to see that side of it. Also, I was watching the making of Moon Knight, that assembled show that's on Disney Plus. It just debuted today, believe it or not. One thing I found really interesting was originally the Mr. Knight persona was supposed to belong to Mark Spector, and Moon Knight was supposed to be for Stephen Grant. And then somewhere along the way, once they figured out that they were going to do Stephen Grant with like an English accent, which wasn't originally part of the deal. Mm-hmm. He was just supposed to be have an American voice. They were going to be filming in America, but it was going to take place in America, but they were using London as their filming location, but they ended up just deciding to make him British, like an Englishman. So, but I thought that was really interesting. And in looking at the show now, I'm like, that would never have worked. Like to have more Mr. Knight than the Moon Knight like persona. Yeah. Like that, I think that the way they flipped it was the far better choice.
Yeah. And I think when it's a medium like a comic book, it's easier to get away with that stuff. But you know, you're moving into a visual medium, you know. Having even the voice, just having the voice change, you know, if it was just to him doing the same voice back and forth, it would be real tough to sort of differentiate between the personalities outside of him rolling his eyes in the back of his head every time he decided to switch.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good choice.
Do you think that Jake Lockley has a Moon Knight suit as well? We just didn't get to see it.
It would have to be something different from the comics, because like Mr. Knight exists in the comics, that suit exists, and then just the regular Moon Knight suit. So they would have to make up something new.
Maybe they would go to more towards like the older style of his look, where it was an all black face, but the white eyes, but still have the cape and the hood.
Yeah.
That was one thing that really bothered me in the final episode was that they just sort of like flashed through that final battle. Like it was more about the giant sized Khonshu and Amit, mm-hmm. Was her name was? And them like them battling. And I was like, as soon as like the battle between him and like Arthur Harrow was happening, it was just done in a split second. I was like, that is really cheap. And I know
it happened
that
earlier in the series too, episode 3 or 4, they had a very similar scenario where he was on the edge of a cliff, or no, he was pursuing gang members, and yes, he was about to push one off the edge of the cliff, and they were both like, "I didn't do it. Did you do it?" And they just sort of dropped that and moved on.
Yeah. So like that, I felt a little bit cheated on, but overall, it served the purpose of it being a surprise in the limo at the end of the episode, like that he was, Khonshu had attached himself to one of the other personalities. Like I get it. So that works. But yeah, I would say that. And Wonder Rob, I would tell you this. I know that you are a huge Star Trek fan. I know that you love Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
he's giving the live long and prosper.
That's right.
Vulcan salute right now. You were talking about Monster of the Week or Freak of the Week. Strange New Worlds is where it's at for that, because that's the whole design of the show. They moved away from having a serialized arc throughout the entire season. It's more about episodic stories that are completely contained, but character arcs that build over the season.
Yeah.
So you'd still have the investment of the characters and that they build over time, but the stories themselves are contained, yeah, which is
I think that would be really good. Like, they did it sort of on Jessica Jones, but that was a Netflix show. But they, of course, didn't really once the Purple Man showed up.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of, in Daredevil when Daredevil first started. But again, you have your whole big storyline there. Like, I would just love to see more action, more street-level stuff just in general with these guys. But I know that's not how Marvel tells their stories. And that's not to say that this is bad. That's just sort of where my mind's at when I think of these shows.
At this point, there is no plans for another season of Moon Knight, but I'm sure they're just leaving the door open. As far as I know, I think Oscar Isaac only signed a contract for one
Oscar,
one appearance. So, because he's honestly, he's kind of a surprise actor for them to get. He's an art, like, film actor, like, that he sticks to, like, the obscure, on the fringe type stuff. So, like, and he chose this.
And The Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker. You're right.
They fly now. They fly now. Okay, I stand corrected.
No, but no, you're right. He does, outside of Star Wars, he does present, he doesn't have that serialized, or not serialized, that's not the right word, like, franchised sort of vibe to him.
He did play Apocalypse in X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
No, right. He did not play Apocalypse. He played Ivan Ooze.
Oh, yeah. Smells like mutants.
Oh, man. Anyways, so Moon Knight, we all agree, was a great show. And we would be okay with a second season if they decide to make one. What's next for Disney Plus with Marvel? Is it Ms. Marvel?
Ms. Marvel comes out next, and then She-Hulk is following soon after. And I was actually just reading, August. Rumor on the street is for She-Hulk. Again, this is just a rumor, everybody. And we won't be back to confirm it because we're taking a hiatus. But that Jessica Jones is supposedly going to be in that show.
Ooh.
Or make an appearance. Kristen Ritter.
That would be the perfect place to put her.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Cool.
So if that Very happens, cool. Remember, you heard it on the podcast that no longer exists for a short time. Geek, so to speak.
Well, I think we should switch some gears, unless anybody else had any final thoughts on Moon Knight.
It just makes me want to read more Moon Knight. But I have to finish this Thor run that I'm currently reading right now first.
Perfect segue, because I thought that we could talk about Thor Love and Thunder's official trailer. Now, I want to preface this by saying that we are in a Discord chat and we talk all the time. And this particular trailer, a lot of us were like, should we even watch it? Should we save ourselves from not get spoiled? This movie, like, they released the trailer and the movie's going to be out within, what, 8-9 weeks, something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe even less than that. So, you know, it's probably the least amount of time to have, like, an official trailer before it debuts in the theater. So a lot of us were kind of like on the fence if we should watch it. I got to say, I have no willpower. I've watched it multiple times.
That's our Shoff. Classic Shoff.
But I want to make
weeks,
sure.
Shoff.
6 weeks. Yeah. See? Wow. Oh, my gosh. So I guess my first question to you guys is, you both have seen this.
Yes, right? I also caved, despite the fact that I was like, I'm not gonna watch it. I don't want to ruin it. That didn't last very long.
So this trailer is pretty dope.
What I like about this trailer, if I compare it to the previous Thor movie, Thor Ragnarok, is that I feel like the moment in Thor Ragnarok that was in the trailer that sticks out in my mind is the Hulk reveal and the line where he says, it's my friend from work. Maybe one of the funniest lines, which would have been perfect if you hadn't heard it in the trailer, right?
True.
And that joke was sort of ruined. Or not ruined, but it's still good, but you know what I mean. You see the joke, you've heard it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, the novelty is lost.
Yeah, the novelty is lost. Great way to put it. So that was my main reason why I didn't really want to watch this trailer, because I remember having that feeling in particular with this movie. And I don't feel like they did that in this trailer. It wasn't a particularly funny trailer. I mean, there's a couple jokes, but there wasn't any big standout, like, that is genius, that is hilarious, that is so smart, like the Hulk, that's my friend from work joke. And so I was satisfied with just watching it the one time. I was like, okay, it's in my system. I got it. Of course, I watched it again because we're about to talk about it. But at that time, I thought, okay, that's good. I feel good about this. I don't feel like I ruined a whole lot. And I don't feel like I'm going to, anything in particular, lines spoken are going to stick out in my mind when I'm going there. So I thought they did a good job putting this trailer together.
All right.
In that aspect, I mean.
Yeah, it was a good first trailer. And actually, I think it was better than the teaser. The only thing that maybe I would like less of going into the movie is Jane Foster Thor, because no matter how much, like, whatever they show in the trailer, it's not going to feel the same as when we see it in the movie. So I want as little as possible of footage of her in particular. Okay. Everything else we've seen, you know, pretty much, like, all right, Russell Crowe as Zeus and all these other things. Christian Bale as Gore. Now, I am a comic purist. I don't like when you have an alien creature that is transformed in the movie into a white guy with white makeup on his face. I want to see the alien. I want to see a weirdo. Mm-hmm. I want to see something that I never seen before.
Sure.
But instead, I got atheist Bale. I want to see that. I want to say put him in some prosthetics or even just make him all CG. Make him Jar Jar and then just have him voice.
Christian Bale walks on and he goes, "They Melvined me."
Does look like death.
So good for you.
I'm sort of in two different camps about this. So I'm sort of giving them the benefit of the doubt. There's a mutual friend we know who called Marvel in our group chat cowards for not having Gore the God Butcher be accurate to the comics per se. He's close, but he's more human than alien, obviously. But if they're having read the comics or being halfway through that storyline in the comics right now, so there's sort of emotional gravitas I feel that the character needs in order to make his storyline work. If they're really going to go for it, or at least sort of go for it, like he is in the comics, and maybe that won't really translate if it is a fully CGI character not being able to see the emotions and the acting of an actor the caliber of Christian Bale. So think about when, way back when, this is just a small example, Spider-Man 3 came out and we got that black suit, which is fine, but we really wanted the all black suit on Spider-Man, like the comics. And then you find out later through production stills that, yeah, they were testing it. You see pictures of the costume that they were trying to do it, but they didn't choose it because they didn't think it worked. Or the Green Goblin, where they wanted the mechanical animatronic face for the Green Goblin, but then they ended up just going with the mask. Like, I want to believe that they tried to do it, and for whatever reason, it just wasn't really working, and they said, you know what, let's put some lines down Christian Bale's face, like he's just coming back from the Kiss concert and he was crying. And maybe that's what we'll go with. So I'm not upset about it necessarily, and I'm going to wait and see how he performs. But I do think, on the other hand, if he did look like he did in the comics, it would be pretty rad.
So noticeably in the trailer, he's got different looks. So the question I have is, are we going to see Gore in different time periods? Obviously, like in the comics, Gore finds a way to basically be throughout time. Mm-hmm. And interact with gods of old and of new and whatever. in this trailer, there's moments where he looks either more scarred or more deformed. And I wonder if that's going to be something where, like, him interacting with the All Black, the sword, is going to cause, like, deformities for him. And maybe by the end of the movie, towards the end, he'll actually have, like, a more comic accurate look to him as a result. Because the trailer definitely is careful on what it's showing, but it also does show him in various stages. There's even one shot where it looks like his nose is gone. Like, it's like sunken in. So it makes me feel like what we're seeing is, especially like the initial shot where it's just like the face paint thing, like there's going to be a progression for him. And I think he's going to look different before everything's all said and done by the end of the movie. So that's my guess.
Yeah. And I think they're going to try to do the past, present, future storytelling a little bit, just based on the trailer. Cause you get all those shots of real young Thor and younger looking Thor. So based on how the story goes, where it's hopping between timelines, I sort of feel like they're going to do that a little bit in this. So maybe. I think you might be on the right track, Shaf.
Makes me wonder, though, if they're going to use gore as their means to build off of the lore of the symbiote. What do you think, Vector? I know that you're the big comic book geek, and you know all about Null and everything. So I like just want to, like, do you think this is a good stepping off point for Marvel, since they now the symbiote does exist in the MCU because it was left at a bar in Mexico at the end of Spider-Man No Way
Wouldn't
Home.
That be wild and, if they're like, yeah, he left it there and now it's on gore.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, wild.
I wish they would, but I don't think so. Again, I don't want to get Ralph Bonard. I don't want to get my hopes up and think that there's going to be all this stuff that's connected like the comics. I think they're going to tease us a little bit and show bits and pieces of both of what you're saying, the three timelines mm-hmm. from the comic and the connection to the symbiotes. But I don't think they're going to go all the way, which is what I would like them to do. And I think that would be great. That would be fantastic if they actually went the full 100, that route of doing the symbiotes, the Necrosword and all that. Like, but I just don't think they will. I think it's too much story to put into one movie. And who knows how it affects, you know, going forward. And I don't think they want to do, like, basically the King in Black storyline was pretty recent. Like when the last Venom movie came out, the King in Black storyline was going on. And that's where Noel was going around and everyone had to try to stop him. But I just don't think they will. I think they're not as connected as we even saw with Multiverse of Madness, like with the Illuminati and not seeing all the other multiverses. I just don't think they want to go as far as we want them to.
Yeah, that's fair.
They want to save their end games. You know, I don't think they want to do that every 10 years. They don't want to be like, all right, here's everything in one movie and everything that you want.
Yeah.
So
otherwise
we'll
yeah.
see.
I think you make a really good point, because otherwise they're, how do we top this? Well, how do we top this? Yeah. Well, how do we top this every single movie? And before you know it, you can't, you just can't top it. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But I would love to see him do it. And I can't wait till both of you guys finish. Shaf, did you finish that first arc?
The first volume? Okay. Yes. I'm on volume 2, which is God Bomb, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I haven't gotten into that yet, but that's where I'm at. Yeah. Yes. Nice. But I have read the first 5 issues, which is the God of Thunder arc. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I can't wait till you guys finish that.
Yeah.
I love the art in it. It's really, it's like paintings. Like it feels like full on.
Yeah, the artist,
like,
Esad Rabik is the artist on that. He's actually doing the Eternals book that's coming out right now. But yeah, his art is fantastic.
Shout out to a friend of the show, Esad.
We also see Thor's butt.
You know, I was going to say, Rob, that's the he's a friend from work moment for me is I wish I had seen that in the movie because I laughed so hard. I was if I had seen that in the movie, I would have another Amy Poehler moment, Rob. I'd be laughing.
So here's the thing. I mean, it's blurred out in the trailer, but you got to assume. You got to assume that it's not blurred out in the theater.
You can get away with a butt in PG-13, but will they?
I think they will. I think that why? Because why would they blur it? Right? Like that would be weird.
Or they cut it out.
It makes sense to blur it. Either that.
It's one of those trailer only moments.
You flick too hard. the women just pass out. Oh my God. I was laughing. So funny. A lot of people are really upset with Russell Crowe looking the way he is and portraying Zeus the way he is. And I'm like, you guys don't know Zeus. Zeus is not like Mr. Muscles Greek God. Like he is a womanizing, I don't know, bitch. Like he's a bitch. I don't know, like I think people are just expecting him to look like the Justice League Zeus from the Zack Snyder cut. It's like no, that's Zack Snyder. He does that kind of stuff. That's not what the Greek god was really conceived as far as what he should look like. That's not right.
And they're saving John Cena for Hercules, the Hercules reveal.
Yes. Yeah. Hercules could be, he could be in this movie. I'm just hoping for Beta Ray Bill. I want to see Beta Ray Bill.
They'll never do it. They'll never do it. I want it to show, but I don't think
they already showed his, that, you know, like the tower, Grandmaster's Tower, like it had the face structure of his species. I can't think of what they're called, but.
Horsicus face Icaticus. I believe.
Another cool thing I saw in the trailer was the reforged Mjolnir is able to separate into pieces when she throws it.
I didn't.
And then come
that.
Back together.
No pun intended. So, like,
so there's like a cool like magnetic element to it that obviously it's not magnets, but you know what I mean. But that was really cool. I kind of wish I didn't see that either because that was kind of a big moment. Cool action shot. Do you think that Thor will learn that Loki's alive in this movie?
No. I don't think you'll see any little thing. And he's not alive, technically. That's a multiverse splinter. At least so far in the storytelling. We don't know about season two.
Yeah. And we don't know what multiverse he's in now. Like, by the end of Loki, he's kind of, the whole thing's flopped.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be mentioned. Yeah, I don't think his name will even be dropped.
Well, his name is on Thor's back. He's got a tattoo.
Is it? Says, I didn't see that.
It said like RIP Loki, and then it's got a picture of Loki's helmet as like a back tattoo.
Interesting.
it's a bigger back tattoo than Ben Affleck has. So
now that's big.
But I thought it was a great trailer. I love that we got plenty of Korg, because Korg is my ride or die. I love what Taika Waititi does with Korg. It's my favorite.
It's gonna be a good one, Chop. It's gonna be a good one.
Real good. So that's Thor Love and Thunder. The trailer is out and available for you. We'll put it in the show notes in case you haven't had a chance to listen or to check it out. And then you can go ahead and play it for yourself. Also, Obi-Wan Kenobi's first two episodes came out on Thursday at like 9 p.m. for most people. Mm-hmm. And I know Wonder Rob has not had a chance to watch
episodes. I simply did not have time.
But you don't mind being spoiled?
No. Go for it.
Vactor, I'm gonna turn to you, Star Wars expert. What did you think? Were you pleased with the first two episodes? Obviously, there was a lot of hype surrounding this show, and a lot of shows don't live up to their hype. Book of Boba Fett. I wanted to get your thoughts on Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes, I enjoyed the first two episodes. But there was a little in the back of my mind, there was a tiny, actually on my shoulder, there was a little one to rub, and he was whispering in my ear.
Hey.
What are you doing? And he was saying, you know that.
Mexican pizzas. That,
yeah, that too. Yeah. Oh, side note, boys, I've had 5 Mexican pizzas so far since they brought them back, and I need to. Those are rookie numbers. I need to up my count.
I was actually going to ask you that question during life updates. I was going to say, how many Mexican pizzas have we each consumed
since they debuted? Let's save it.
Yeah. Okay.
But the voice in the side of my head is saying, yeah, this is good. But what if the whole show was like that Order 66, that opening shot where they're showing the Jedi.
This show's good. But what if the whole show was like Order 66, you know, that opening shot?
Yeah. And I say, thanks, Rob. Thanks.
Also, what's Order 66? Can somebody tell me?
That's how Rob many Mexican pizzas he's had.
Rob is John Leguizamo from Spawn. That's where Rob is right now. But
got it.
I liked it from the standpoint of a Star Wars fan. There's a lot of stuff from that time period that we haven't seen in a while. And I think the prequels have been going through a renaissance because I think when all of us were going through the prequels, when they were coming out, it was nonstop. This George Lucas ruined my childhood. The prequels suck. Jar Jar. Too much CG. Too much blue screen. Blah, blah, blah. And now, after the sequels, after Rise of Skywalker, who are you? Rey Skywalker. After that, now everybody's like, the prequels are great. George Lucas made the prequels. He's the guy who created Star Wars. So those are great. The sequels are terrible. They suck.
God damn you, J.J. Abrams.
More Gungans.
I like seeing the renaissance, like I said, of the prequels. So this show is kind of a encapsulation of all of that, and showing Obi-Wan now in the current filmmaking techniques is also another thing that I find interesting. After Mandalorian, and we talked about this show on Technological, the true innovation of Mandalorian is the volume and filming things with video game technology on the LED screens behind them instead of a green screen, so the actors can see what they're looking at and they can actually, they can focus on playing the characters rather than, all right, where am I looking at? Well, there's a big tennis ball over there. So I think this Obi-Wan show has benefited from that. The performances are great. I loved all of the characters in the first 2 episodes, and I found myself like looking in the background, like, oh, intently, like, what is that? What is that? What is that? So I need to watch it again because I was so amped up on my first viewing. I don't think I caught everything because I was like, I got to look. Okay. All right. So let's read the Arabish on the side of the building. And then there's, oh yeah, that character comes back over there. And that's a reference to this. And I was also explaining it to my wife at the same time. Okay. So he's this character and this character. And then, so I do need to watch it again, but my first initial thoughts are I enjoyed it, but I wanted more action. I wanted more lightsabers. I wanted more fighting.
Yeah. That first scene that you were talking about, that lightsaber battle, showing you a different perspective of Order 66, that is pretty rad. That some of the lightsaber like moves, the combat choreography that some random Jedi was doing, I don't think it was anybody that we knew.
Yeah, they didn't name her, no.
She was very talented, and it was like, if we get more of that, that's going to be fun to watch. Cause she was like Darth Maul moving around. Yes. Like she was very, very acrobatic and, unique in her like approach to it. So that was really cool. We saw a bunch of younglings just get totally slaughtered. I'm just kidding. since Wonder Rob hasn't seen it. The big surprise for me of these first 2 episodes, one thing I did not expect that we were going to get is little Leia.
Yeah. Yep.
That blew my mind that we get a basically like a 10-year-old Leia, and she's just as badass as the Lady Mormont from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
In the final season. She reminded me so much of her, just being like really outspoken, very commanding in her presence, very articulate, like very similar.
I want
loved,
you to
heard loved, loved her.
Shaw, that little yes, Leia sir. Was a secret that I was been keeping for a very long time.
Oh, wow.
Because loyal listeners will know my wife worked on episode 5 of this series. And she, I said, tell me everything. I said, I don't care. tell it all to me. And when that, she told me that, I was like, ooh, I want to tell the guy, but I was like, no, I can't tell the guy.
That was a very good surprise. I'm glad you didn't tell us. There was nothing in the promotional, you know, materials. And I was telling my wife, I said, my wife, why, what, you know, what's the connection? Why are we following her? And then the whole thing of that's what gets him off the planet. That's what gets him off Tatooine. And I was like, oh, that's really good, because I don't want to see the whole show. Because that's when this was first announced, they're like, wait a minute. He's on Tatooine the whole time watching Luke. This show's going to be nothing but him on the desert planet the whole time. That's going to be boring.
Checking off, looking at Luke.
Shooting jump rats.
He's force jerking.
So it's like, he calls it the stranger.
So when they got him off the planet, I was like, oh, that's a really good way to do it. And Shaw, if you weren't the only one to have that lady, was it Marmont or Mormont? From Game of Thrones, that parallel.
I was
watching a YouTube recap on Screen Crush, and they made the same. They were like, oh, I hope we get to see older Leia in the Senate, and it's played by that actress, because she's a little bit older now, ever since she was on Game of Thrones. But I also heard her described as 100 pounds of sass in a 40-pound body, and that's what I felt that, too. Like, she was... and my wife was like, she was loving it too. She was like, yeah, tell him, get him. So that was a highlight for me. I just don't know, with 4 episodes left, how much of it, you know, because we have to have time for Anakin or Vader and Obi-Wan, because that's the big buildup of Hayden Christensen coming back. So how much it, like, is it going to focus on Leia versus the Vader storyline? Like, are they going to, now that they've introduced her, how much more are they going to use her? Don't tell me, Rob. Don't tell me how many episodes she's in.
I just know what happens in episode 5.
So that's which is the penultimate episode.
Clearly, she's in episode 5.
Yeah, spoiler. I just want to see. She's in episode 5.
I want to see how much it plays off of that, because I actually heard some people talking about, oh, man, why do they focus so much on the kid actors? I want to, you know, this is Obi-Wan's show. I want to focus on Obi-Wan. But these first 2 episodes, Ewan McGregor was great. Everything that he was doing was exactly what I wanted. And the appearance of Kumail.
He sucks. I can't stand Kumail.
As a
person, as an actor, as, man... I tell you what, I didn't mind him in Eternals. I actually was surprised. I kind of liked him in Eternals. But in this show, he's just Kumail. Like, he's not anything else. He's just, if somehow Kumail got, like, transported to the Star Wars universe.
You're so
it's
funny,
that Shop, bad.
Because, again, not to do too many spoilers, but that's exactly how my wife described him. She says, he's just like Kumail Nanjiani in this.
That's what my wife said. And it felt like his lisps were more prominent in this than I've ever heard them before. And I was like, I can't. It's driving me crazy. I can't listen to him. I can't look at him. I can't look at him in his stupid, dumb, buff face. I can't do it.
Well, I thought it was funny. Face. I thought his character was funny. But there's also something that happens, Shoff, in one of these episodes. So neither of you watched I think it's pretty safe to assume for me, because you guys have not talked about this before, but you did not watch Rebels, correct? The animated series Rebels.
I have seen the first maybe couple episodes.
I initially gave it a shot.
I initially gave it. You know what's funny? You guys say that. I had a notion earlier today. I thought to myself, you know what? I think I'm going to watch The Clone Wars, and I'm also going to watch Rebels. And I'm going to tell Vactor, and he's going to splooge in his jeans about it. So
that would be 100% correct if it was true, Shaw.
You just wait and see my Disney Plus account. Wait.
But, well, is it true, Shaw? Because I don't want to spoil it for you, because I was about to spoil something.
No, you can spoil it. I don't care.
Okay.
Go for it.
So the Grand Inquisitor, the guy that's like the head Inquisitor, the bald guy.
Yeah.
So he's from Rebels. He was introduced in Rebels. He also dies in Rebels. In this show, he got stabbed, and it was like, oh, he's dead? But then I thought, wait a minute. But he's alive in Rebels, and Rebels is after this. So then I saw a theory online where they were like, oh, yeah, this is another guy, another Grand Inquisitor, and he just happens to look like the other one. And as everybody on that planet looks the same, and that's why. And I was like, huh? So I want to see what they do with that. Do they just heal him?
And they're all very inquisitive. Really. Every one of them.
You know what he probably does? He probably just, you know, takes a bath in Boba Fett's tank. And it's just like, just spends, you know, the rest of the season just soaking. And then he's fine.
But not the soaking you're thinking of. The other kind.
That's actually a thing I wanted to ask you about, Shaw. What did you think about the Inquisitors? We saw three Inquisitors.
Yeah. So correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't the, is it Fifth Brother? Is that what his, wasn't Fifth Brother played by the guy who plays Han on Fast and the Furious?
Correct.
Oh my gosh.
Sung Kang. Yes.
Yeah. That was something. Okay.
But you couldn't tell because of the makeup. Like,
yeah, he had a lot of makeup on. And his voice was really different too.
Yeah.
A lot of people were making such a stink about Grand Inquisitor looking the way he did, like his face sort of being a little shrunken, not being elongated like he is in the Rebels or other places that you might have seen him. But the fact that he died, I'm like, I saw a TikTok video today. This guy was losing it. He was laughing so hard because he was like, man, people were ready to start a civil war over the fact that this guy looked the way he does. And he died. He straight up, he's like, he might not even be the same guy from that thing. So,
Shaw, you should have sent me that. Send me that if you still have
it. I will now. I hearted it, so I'll definitely be able to send it to you. But I was laughing because I was like, I had the same thought. I was like, man, we got all worked up about nothing.
That's what I thought too when I was watching it. But then I was like, wait a minute, Rebels. But yeah, so I think the Inquisitor storyline is interesting to me. This new one that they've introduced where she's like pretty much going off the rails and she's not doing things by the book.
So I have a theory about her. So, Wonder Rob, we're talking about Reva. She's the third sister.
Oh, yes, I'm familiar. She's the one who says, I'm Reva.
her full name is Reva McIntyre.
Shop got it. Shop knew what I was going. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Call her Reva. Reva McIntyre.
The little Rob on Chop's shoulder.
We loved your work in Little Rascals. but anyways, I think that she was previously a youngling.
That's the only reason I can think of why they would show the younglings at the beginning.
Yeah. I think that she's a former youngling, mm-hmm. and something that Obi-Wan did caused her to get caught or captured and then converted towards the Inquisitors or something like that, is my guess. And that's why she has some personal grudge against Kenobi, because otherwise, like their interactions with each other, I'm like, there's gotta be something going on. Cause she's got it out for Obi-Wan and I don't know why. So I think that my guess is she's a former youngling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, she knows that Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader, and most people don't know that and wouldn't know that. So the only reason she could is maybe she saw that hologram of Anakin taking a knee to Palpatine or whatever. Yeah. Like, so that's my guess. That's my theory on that. It seems like it might work. Plus, I think Kenobi even said at one point that the Inquisitors were former Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're force sensitive and everything too. So, so I mean, I'm interested in it. I'll definitely watch the rest of it. I was pretty, I liked it a lot, except episode two felt too much like John Wick. It ended up being, they basically just copied the John Wick storyline of every bounty hunter getting Kenobi's face and saying, oh, he's number one suspect, you got to take him out or whatever. And then it was just him like running through avoiding bounty hunters left and right. I'm like, this is John Wick in space. So,
yeah. Somebody from John Wick worked on the Obi-Wan show. I'm trying to find out who it was. Like, it was a director or somebody. I guess Joby Harold was writer and executive producer on Obi-Wan, and he's also the executive producer of John Wick. So maybe there's your connection, Shaw.
Could be.
some similarities in the two franchises. But yeah, I really enjoyed the first two episodes. I want to see more. I want to see where it's going, and I want to get to episode 5 so I can.
Yeah.
Hopefully, my wife didn't end up on the cutting room floor.
Can you tell us anything about who your wife plays? In episode 5?
She doesn't play a particular character, although they did have to do that thing where, that thing, like, we all know what it is. They had to, after she was in costume, she had to stand in this little pod where it has the 360-degree cameras, and they had to digitally recreate her to put her in stuff, to, like, move her around.
Nice.
They're going to use her for years.
I don't want to say the circumstance. Yeah, they said that's exactly what they told her. They said if they want to put, they gave her character a name, but they didn't tell her what the name was, but they told her that her character would have a name. And they said that they could use it for future shows, video games, etc., to just put her in that if they see the need to. I don't want to tell you anything about what she's doing or the circumstances of her scene because it's gonna spoil things. I can tell you that for a fact. Okay. It's
fair
going
enough.
To. So just keep an eye out. She worked on it for a week. So she may or may not be in it a whole lot, but she might. Just keep an eye out. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. That's cool. That's really cool. The only thing I really didn't like other than the John Wick thing was the fact that they cast Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
What? He's awesome. Hey, Obi-Wan. Next red light.
Yeah.
He was Saber.
He kept saying Obi-Wan was chicken. What's the matter, Kenobi? Chicken. He's like, the Grand Inquisitor will never find out.
See you at the plant, Obi-Wan.
I was just like, I can't see anything other than Flea in this. Like, he was just Flea. He was Flea in space, just like it's Kumail in space. I was like, that none of them were trying. They were not like trying to like become somebody else. They're just themselves with costumes on. So, yeah.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes just the actor being themselves. If you like that person, now let's say Shoff doesn't like that personality, then that's a problem. But if it's somebody you like, then it's like, hey, it's that guy I like. It's that girl I like.
Yeah. Did you know, so, Shoff?
I dislike a lot of people, though.
Yeah. Did you know, Shoff, that 3 out of 5 members of NSYNC are in Star Wars Episode 2?
What?
Mm-hmm. They filmed as background. So there's crowd scenes that they're in, like Joey Fatone, Lance Bass, and Chris Kirkpatrick.
Oh, my
gosh. And Justin Timberlake and JC were like, I'm too tired. We can't do it. And the other guys were like, fuck yeah. Let's go.
And they That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Wow. Blew my mind just now.
Yeah, little factoid. This is the kind of stuff you're going to miss while we're on hiatus, everybody.
By the way, my daughter Emily's favorite song right now is Bye Bye Bye, speaking of NSYNC. So she goes, bye, 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 baby, bye, 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 bye.
You're screwing it up. Those aren't the lyrics. If you're not going to sing it right, don't sing it.
If it's not that song, it's Hooked on a Feeling, and she just calls it the Uka song. Uka. Uka, dada, uka.
You're pitchy. No, it's all wrong.
So, yeah, so that's Obi-Wan Kenobi, first two episodes. They will be released on a weekly basis on Wednesdays, I think.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So we can look forward to that. Of course, we won't be reviewing anymore for the rest of the season, but we do hope that you folks will check out Obi-Wan. And, you know, you can always reach out to us on the various podcast platforms and or social media and let us know.
Yeah.
Real quick, I know that I'm the only person in this group who has seen any of Stranger Things season 4, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm not going to spoil anything, but I will say that this season is off the fucking rails. It is wild.
Is that good or bad?
So far, good. It's, I would say, more gory than Moon Knight. And I know you were saying Moon Knight wasn't super violent like we were planning on, but like it's already surpassing Moon Knight in terms of like how violent it is. Hmm. It's leaning in heavy into the horror so much so that I don't feel comfortable watching it late at night.
Wow.
So there's that. Definitely still very Dungeons and Dragons heavy in its how it's like taking that game or characters or creatures from the game and applying it to stuff happening in the town of Hawkins or in the Upside Down or things like that. The soundtrack has been really great so far. Lots of awesome music, which is kind of a staple of Stranger Things being a period piece. They really lean into the 80s music, things like that. These kids are in high school right now and dealing with bullies and peer pressure and relationships and everything. And it was like, I hated high school with a passion because of being bullied, because of being misunderstood, because of being shy, because of all sorts of things. And it's kind of I don't want to say it's a tough show to watch, but it's a show that makes me think about my time in high school. And that just makes me a little bit sad. So it's a tough show to watch in that regard. But also I feel like I can connect with these characters because I had similar experiences, things like that. So so in that regard, I like it. I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the season, but I have to be careful and just watch it during the day because it's scary. So, but I definitely am very intrigued by it. And this is the penultimate season. Season 5 will be the final season of Stranger Things. Potential for spinoffs, but the main story will be resolved by next season. And this is this is a really interesting season so far. I've only seen one episode, but it was like an hour and 18 minutes, so it felt like I was watching a short movie. So really, really good. Lots of great performances so far and lots of disturbed kids. So
and all these kids are going to be 30 by the next season.
I know. And I fully believe that Wonder Rob will not watch this simply because he hates Finn Wolfhard.
I'm tired of that kid. I just gotta let everybody know I'm tired of seeing that kid everywhere. He's getting into Ben Schwartz territory. He's closing in on Ben Schwartz for me.
Oh no.
The worst. So Stranger Things season 4, Shoff approved, with the lights on.
There you go.
With that, that's what we got geeky content for you today. Now, we definitely want to take just a quick bit of time and talk about what's going on in our lives before we wrap up the episode. So I kind of posed this question earlier, and we know Vector has had 5 Mexican pizzas. Wonder Rob, where do you sit on your body count?
Okay, so I have not been counting my Mexican pizzas consumed. But I can tell you, before it came back, I had never had one. It was never something I wanted to try. And Factor, just like, he treated it coming back like, imagine you've been trapped in the desert and you have no water, and then you finally find a little puddle of water and you're like, oh, thank God, water. That's how he was treating the Mexican pizza. And so I said, okay, fine, I'll try it. And while I don't know how many I've had enough to say, oh, this is good. Oh, I'm liking this. I'm going to keep ordering it. I think I might be eating too many of these. I don't like this anymore.
What?
I need to take a little break on the Mexican pizzas. I had one today for lunch, and I was like, I didn't finish it. I was like, no, this isn't doing it for
me.
And I think I just had too many too close together is, I think,
you just have to add it to your rotation.
Yeah.
But how many have you had?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know how many I've had. I probably had at least
it's
six.
Been a blur. Wow. Okay.
I eat Taco Bell a lot. I've talked about this a little bit on the Sandbox Gamers podcast, but my taste in fast food is dwindling really fast.
Yeah.
Things that I used to really like just aren't really doing it for me anymore. And Taco Bell is like the last bastion of fast food that like I still love. And so it being the only one, for the most part, it's really the only fast food place I'm going to. So there have been several opportunities for me to eat there, and I have been ordering it several times. And I think it's just been too much, too fast for me.
That's fair.
So I don't want to say I know I said I hated it earlier. That was an overstatement. But today I was like, I need to lay off this for a minute. So I'll report back on the Sandbox Gamers my thoughts on the Mexican pizza as they develop.
I've had three total. I've had many more attempts to get them. I just continually run into issues here in Colorado with the Taco Bells. The first time I had like special access with the app. It was going to let me get it like 2 days early. I go to the Taco Bell. By the way, I used the app, so I prepaid for the Mexican pizza. I was so excited. I get in the really long drive-through line. I'm thinking it's super long because everybody else is doing the same thing. But they don't have Mexican pizzas there, I find out. There's no signage or anything, but I get up to the window and they're like, well, we don't have Mexican pizzas. And I was like, by the way, I almost did an accent that would have been very inappropriate.
Oh,
so
boy.
I caught myself, though, but I still felt like calling myself
Oi,
out.
Oi, governor, we don't have Mexican pizzas here.
That's right.
Top of the morning.
You're going to have to go try a different one, right? How's your mom? So I was like, well, fuck this. I got really upset. I got so upset that I parked my car because I was the line was getting super long. And I got out of the car and I went up to the door. By the way, the sign on the door said the inside is closed due to short staffing. So like there was nobody allowed to eat inside. I opened up the door, went inside. They like stopped me like by the doorway and they're like, can we help you? I'm like, yeah, you can either get me a refund or you can get me a Mexican pizza. I'm like, I'm sure you've got the ingredients there. It's the same stuff. Like, why Taco Bell like takes it away, but it's like all the same stuff that they could use. Like, do you have tostadas? Yes. Do you have ground beef? Yes. Do you have cheese? Yes. Do you have tomatoes? Yes. Do you have the sauce? Yes. Then just fucking make me a pizza, goddammit. So
have you ever been Mexican pizza angry? I don't think I have. Not once in my life.
Well, here's the thing. I had never tasted one at that point. So just like you, Wonder Rob, this was a new novelty thing for me, and I wanted to join in on the craze. I wanted to be part of the water cooler currency in the Discord chat for sure. So it took a couple more days. I had to wait for the Mexican pizza to officially debut. And then I went to a different Taco Bell and was successful, had one, and I loved it. Proceeded then to go back the next day to that same Taco Bell. And wouldn't you know it, their credit card terminal was down. But I didn't know that until I got to the drive-thru window and they were asking for my order. And they were like, by the way, we can't take any cards. And I was like, fuck.
So then, you ever had that happen to you where you get stuck in a drive-through line, but you haven't ordered anything because you can't pay for it because you don't have cash?
On occasion, so that's happened, yeah.
So you're stuck, like, in your car. You can't get out of line. There's no way, unless you're, like, going to go off-roading, right? So, like, you're stuck just sitting behind the other person who's waiting for their food. You're like, I just want to get out of this fucking line. So that was me.
Let me tell you a story then just real fast. That happened to me one time, and where I realized I didn't bring my wallet, and there was one car ahead of me, and so I thought to myself, I'm not just going to drive away. Let me tell them, and then I'll leave. And so I got to the window. It was a Jack in the Box. And the lady says, it'll be so-and-so amount. And I said, I'm really sorry. I forgot my wallet. And before the t could leave my lips, she said, bye, and closed the door, the window on me. I was like, all right, then. Just drove off. Dang. Like, she thought I was going to ask for free food or something. I was like, I was just letting you know, but... Anyway,
you damn teenagers.
It's burned in my mind that experience. I've never forgotten it. And that's at least 12 years ago.
That's wild. Dang. Oh, man. Well, I was successful after all that went down. I went to a different one and I closer to the house, and I ordered two because I was like, I am going to get my fucking fill of the missed Mexican pizzas that I could have been eating. So I've had a total of three, and I've loved them. But Colorado sucks. Colorado Taco Bells might be the worst Taco Bells in the nation. I'm just throwing it out.
Wow. There. Yeah. Shout out to our Colorado Shame on listeners.
Let Shame us know. On you. So, anyways, that's the Mexican pizza part of the conversation.
Thank goodness.
Any life updates you guys wanted to share?
Well, in the break, took my wife and my boy to the beach, my little boy's first time at the beach ever in his life. We went to Newport, got an Airbnb right on the beach. So all we had to do was walk out the back door and our feet were in the sand, baby. And took him all the way down, set up, put the chairs, got him a little tent so that he could hang out in if it was too hot. Got him, all the normal things you would assume a kid would want to play with, sandcastles, little shovel, all the things. And all my boy wanted to do was stand in the ocean and just get pelted with waves. That's all he wanted to do. And he stood there for 2 hours, just having the time of his life, standing there, getting hit, falling over, standing up. He didn't care about seashells. Look at these seashells. I don't care. look at all these seaweeds. Don't care. He's just laughing, having the time of his life. Fun memories. I don't know if I really want to go to the beach anymore, though. I'll tell you, not the actual driving to the beach, but departing wherever you're staying and walking to the beach, and then departing the beach going to where you're staying are two of the worst trips. But actually, why? Being on the beach is not bad.
But why is it the worst? I don't get it.
You gotta walk half a mile down the beach carrying all the things. You gotta set up. But the worst part is leaving, because now you're covered in sand. You gotta pack up all the things. They're covered in sand. And then you gotta make your way all the way back. It's the trek to and from that I don't like. But actually being there is great. So we enjoyed that. One thing I just want to tell Shoff, I don't know if you've heard of this, a little indie game called Elden Ring. I've been playing that a ton, everybody. I talk about it every week on the Sandbox Gamers. Check it out. But I'm going to tell Shoff, this game, just when I think this game can't surprise me anymore, it says, oh, you like secrets? Like, I discover a secret. It's like, you like secrets? Here's 30 more. Enjoy. The map is bigger than Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption, Skyrim combined. And then, Shoff, it says, also, here's a whole second map under the first map that's just as big. Enjoy.
Oh, wow.
I can't get enough of Elden Ring. So I've been playing Elden Ring. I've been going to the beach, and I've been doing my stupid job every day. And that's been my life.
It's a good life.
It's all right.
Good life.
It's okay.
Vactor, what about you?
Nothing new on my side of the world, but I have been working more overtime than any other time period in my job's history. But that's just because they've been offering more. So I've been not knowing what day of the week it is.
Like, as he example, says, he looks week, like he's going to fall asleep. He's rubbing his eyes. Oh, my gosh.
Week, I'm working 7 days, and I don't know what day is what. I almost forgot this podcast was recording today, but I'm still here, boys. I'm still here.
Well, you'll appreciate all that hard work when that paycheck shows up.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Shoff, I want to point out that in the Twitch chat, yes, Jeff W., our co-host with the most from the Sandbox Gamers, had a comment for you about how you said, okay, Colorado is the worst. He says, a weed legal state but has bad Taco Bells. What a shame.
That's a very astute observation. You know, moving to Colorado, I thought it would be a pretty liberal town, a pretty liberal state, and also just the town that we live in. No. It's full of Trump lovers is the thing. So that's not what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah. That's just how it goes. So that's how it goes.
Yeah. Trump loving, Taco Bell hating state. That's what Taco Bell.
Yeah, this is the last episode for a while. Listen, if you love Trump, fuck you. All right, we said it. We've been dancing around it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's the last episode for a while. Just get it out there.
We just go full racist at this point. We're just like, oh, and also women suck.
No. We're not going that far. We love women.
I love women. And very nice.
Very nice. So you got your overtime. Yeah, I'm no stranger to overtime either. Definitely been working a bunch of overtime because you got to keep paying for that childcare. You know, you got to keep the bills paid and everything and all that stuff. I have played almost no video games with the exception of seeing credits on Guardians of the Galaxy. I played a little bit of Trek to Yomi, and I really like it. I really like Trek to Yomi. It's a Game Pass game on Xbox. I tried to play Fortnite this morning, and that did not work out. My daughter has a very keen radar for video games.
Which daughter?
It's Emily.
Emily.
My toddler. She's almost two. But she, no matter if she's been asleep for 5 minutes or asleep for 2 hours, if I turn on the console and she's napping, she will wake up. She will wake up within seconds of it. And I tested it today just to see if it would happen. And sure enough, I got into the lobby of Fortnite, said hi to Vactor, said hi to friend of the show, Ben Songer. And then I said goodbye to Vactor and Ben Songer because... because Emily had woken up and was like, stop playing games and spend some time with me. And I was joking in the chat, the Discord chat, that it's reminiscent of like if you have maybe like when, not your wife, obviously my wife is amazing, but like I've had relationships where, and I'll call them relationships because that's really what they were, but I've had relationships where you're with someone and you are playing a video game and they're like seething about it. And they make it a point to like make you feel bad about playing video games to the point where like you feel like you have to stop. And they're like, spend time with me. You're playing a video game. Spend time with me. It's like, I've been spending time with you. Can I have some like my own time to do my own thing? I'm like, that's how Emily is with video games. She does not want me to play a video game. If she's asleep, she's like, she'll wake up. So I've been really itching to play more games, and that's just been unfortunate byproduct of having a newborn she's almost two, but she's already in that terrible two sort of behavior right now where she's, she's fighting, you know, what we're asking her to do. She's defiant. She's, very temperamental. And so it's just been like a challenge. And while we're wading those waters, and then we've got Sage, our 1 month old, and you know, she's needs us for everything. She doesn't even want to be put down into like a baby seat or anything like that, you know, like where they've got the carriers or whatever. You can just like have them chill out for a moment. She doesn't chill out. No, 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 no. You can't put her down. You have to carry her all day long. So you guys got to learn how to eat with one hand, half of a hand, like, you know, it's so my life has just been a challenge lately. And that's why this podcast is taking a hiatus. So anyways, real quick, any recommendations, anything we're reading, comic books, stuff we wanted to recommend to our listeners?
Yes, I want to recommend the Thor run that I'm reading right now with Gore, the God Butcher. Don't know what it's called, but look it up. It's good. It fell off of a truck and landed in my Google Drive, and now I'm reading it on my iPad, and I am very much enjoying it. And let me recommend a comic I haven't read. There's a Flintstones comic where it's all serious. So look that one up, too. I don't know what it's called, but look it up, everybody.
Look it up. Vector, what about you?
I talked about the Miles Morales book that is currently coming out. I got a chance to read the first volume and the art. And I don't actually, after what Shoff said in this podcast, I don't know if Shoff would enjoy it, because one of the things that I love about it is it's in high school. And it's that feeling of being in high school and you have to juggle your responsibilities and you got girls and you got your friends and you got school and you got to be a superhero. So it's just like my life. And I want all of our listeners exactly out there the to read Miles Morales, because the current run on Miles Morales is very good. And our co-host on We Love Comics, Marcus Seabury, he actually said this book is where he's getting his what used to be his Peter Parker fix, but he's getting it now through Miles Morales, because he said they've made so many changes to Peter Parker. It's not the fun Spider-Man anymore. Mm. It's like everything is depressing and he's down on his luck and all this stuff. Miles Morales is more like the classic Peter Parker and the fun-loving Spider-Man. So I
don't know, man.
I can't wait to get
Marcus.
To the
current, he's here.
The current issues of Miles Morales. He's got his own clones. He's got like a lot of his own villains. So he's distinguishing himself as his own Spider-Man. So I would highly recommend that.
Nice. What have I been reading? I got caught up on Saga. I have read all the issues of Saga, with the exception of 59, which just came out. I haven't had a chance to read that one yet, but I've read 1 through 58. I did so just within this past month, pretty much. Oh, he's got it. He's holding it up right now. It's a multicolored fish, but yeah, that's 59. And I think this is going to run for 102 episodes, issues, I mean. I can't remember.
It's around there.
108.
Yeah. It's double whatever you had, Shoff, that compendium.
That's right. I think it was 54. So yeah, so okay. 108. So that was excellent. I highly recommend it, especially if you're a young dad or just, you know, are a father. It means more, I think. You can appreciate it more. I also read what Wonder Rob was talking about, the God of Thunder run, so Jason Aaron Thor run. That was awesome. Really enjoying Punisher right now. The new run of Punisher, the new run of Ghost Rider is awesome. Jurassic League is actually really great. I know it's weird to see that your DC heroes and villains as dinosaurs, but I gotta say, I really like it. It's weird to say that, but I do. I like it. And gosh, there's a whole bunch more. I think what I'm most looking forward to, because I'm a big Fortnite fan, is the Fortnite Marvel crossover that's going to be coming out in June for comic books. So I've already got that set up on a what do they call that? A pull list?
Yes, pull list.
So yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Also, for future Rob, mm-hmm. if you're interested in that Flintstones book, you will also be very interested in Exit Stage Left, The Snagglepuss Chronicles.
Oh, thank God. So finally, they did Snagglepuss.
They did the exact same thing, Rob. It's the serious Snaggletooth.
I love it.
Also, the same writer who wrote the Flintstones book.
Yes.
And then lastly, my daughter Emily is actually really into comic books right now. We got her one of the free Comic Book Day comics. Yeah. It's the Disney Plus show that Spidey and his amazing friends or whatever. And she has... She runs around the house saying Doc Ock now. It's so funny. Doc Ock, Doc Ock, Doc Ock. Like, she doesn't know Spidey. She doesn't talk about Spidey. She just talks about Doc Ock. And Doc Ock appears, like, very briefly in this free issue. But thankfully, she's already ripped it up, and it's free. So that's the way to do it. If you're going to give your toddler a comic book, make it free comic book.
They make those comic books knowing they're going to get ripped up. So yeah, I think it's fine.
So you know what's funny about that, Shuff? Agent M, Ryan Panagos, he's part of the This Week in Marvel podcast, and just the Marvel marketing team in general. But he has a young daughter, and he says on almost every podcast that she loves the Rhino on that Spider-Man show. She's That's like, the so Rhino funny. Is the main character to her. Like, where's Rhino? Where's Rhino?
Spider-Man. And he can't catch me.
Perfect impression.
Well, folks, that was excellent. I thought you were going to go Paul Giamatti, but you didn't.
No, Paul Giamatti's the best, but Link, my boy, watches a lot of that show as well. So his voice is ingrained in my brain.
That is our episode. Thank you so much for listening to not only episode 200 but also the previous 199 that came before. We really appreciate all of your support over these past 5-6 years. This isn't a goodbye for good. This is just a so long for now, while we take a much deserved break and hiatus and tend to our family responsibilities and everything as well. As we mentioned, the Geek So To Speak podcast network still has other podcasts that will be actively going. The Sandbox Gamers for video game news and reviews, as well as We Love Comics, which is the comic book focused podcast hosted by Vactor and Marcus Seabury. And I forgot to mention, Sandbox Gamers is Vactor, Wonder Rob, and Jeff W. Mm-hmm. So, and if Jeff W is still in the chat, shout out to Jeff W. with that in mind, Technological still has, I think, 5 or 6 episodes before it goes on a break. So look forward to that. And if you're looking to find us on various social media, of course, you can search for Geek So To Speak podcast on YouTube as well as on Twitch. We are twitching right now. I'm twitching. I'm totally twitching. But yeah, we're on Twitch right now. Our website is geeksotospeak.com. If you put a /network, then you'll get a list of all of our shows. Obviously, this website will maybe not be super up to date after we're on hiatus. but Wonder Rob is laughing. What's he laughing about?
Oh, Jeff's in the chat. He said, "I'm here, motherfucker."
He's so angry. He's always angry. But anyways, thank you so much, everyone. Please, if you haven't already subscribed to our podcast, you might want to. Not because we're going to have anything new coming your way after this week, but you'll know when we come back. That'll be the best way to know, because the episode will drop and you'll get that notification.
And that's the same reason you want to follow us on social media.
Exactly. My final thought is just... thank you. This has been a highlight for me. I started this podcast when I was in a real dark relationship place, and it was my escape. And so to be able to continue to do this regularly for as long as we have, it's awesome. So whatever happens after 200, even still, 200 is a great accomplishment, and I'm very proud of us. So that's what I got to say about that. Any final thoughts before we close out, guys?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've spent roughly 285 hours of my life making this podcast, and I wouldn't change them for anything, and I'm looking forward to wasting more of my time with my buds. So thanks, guys.
Yeah. Read more comics.
And don't poop in the sandbox.
Yay!
All right, folks. Well, take care. We love you. And stay geek strong. Stay geek proud. And we will see you next time. Same geek time.
Not the same geek channel because, wait, no. It won't be same geek time. It'll be same.
Say,
it'll say not same time, but same geek channel.
Oh, man. We love you. Bye-bye.